Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
A happy April Fool's Day, John.
Thank you. I feel like one.
Oh, no. Well, you're no fool now. We're here to talk to you about some lawn care today. And we know that the weather is warming up. We are just seeing green popping up all over. A lot of those can be annual and perennial weeds coming back to life after such a mild winter. But we know that most folks in El Paso are going to have a nice Bermuda lawn, and they're hoping for that for their summer outings. We've got some little tips here for you to see how to get your Bermuda grass off to a good start this season.
Right. Bermuda grass, even though it was maybe brown on top, I'll bet there was some green down there. If you actually dug down to ground level, you'll probably find some green stems down in there. And the Bermuda is just waiting for a nice warm spell. So it really reacts to the warmer temperature. So, you know, we'll get a little bit of growth on it just because you've had a few days of warm. So it'll start to come up and everybody will think it's growing good. But once it really gets hot, soil temperature-wise and ambient air temperature-wise, that Bermuda takes off. Fertilizer and water, and it'll just, you know, outgrow you.
Yeah, right.
And so you have to kind of do it in moderation, because if you push it too hard with, say, high nitrogen type fertilizer, you'll end up with a lawn that might be a little too succulent, and you'll end up with some disease problems on it. So you want to kind of, you know, don't want to push it too much, but probably starting out in the spring with a complete fertilizer that has nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. So the three numbers, the first number should be 2 to 3 times higher than the second and third number. So 21-6-10 or 21-3-3 or even a 16-8-8 would be a good fertilizer to start your fertilization off with. So you want to, hopefully the soil temperatures are warm enough that you're starting to see some grass growth. And then go ahead and put the fertilizer out. And usually we like to put somewhere about a pound of actual nitrogen per application per 1,000 square feet. If you have a material that's about 25%, you know, nitrogen, then you're looking at 4 pounds.
Right, because 4 pounds of the product is going to have 1 pound of nitrogen that we need for the lawn.
If you use like a 1 pound coffee can to put your fertilizer in with, remember, fertilizer weighs more than coffee, so that can is not going to be 1 pound of fertilizer.
Right, a lot more. So then, John, what are your recommendations as far as, you know, you start seeing the Bermuda grass start to green up? What do you get first? Do you start hitting it with fertilizer, or do you want to start watering that in?
Well, hopefully you've been watering all winter, because without the moisture, you can get a little dieback, maybe some winter injury, depending on the actual grass that you're growing. But you do like to water hopefully once a month during the winter, so you got the grass, you know, grass roots are moist and they're ready to go. You can use a slow-release fertilizer. We do have, you know, products that have nitrogen in different forms, and one of them is a slow-release form. So it puts out the nitrogen a little bit at a time. You know, either when you water, it brings out a little of the nitrogen, or it breaks down on its own slowly. But that's what you need to really kind of get the yard started, and then the heat. So if you got the heat unit, you got the fertilizer, you got the water, that grass will blast off and never look back.
Right. And you know, and I think you can kind of time your fertilizer as well on how often you want to maintain your yard or how often you want to be out there mowing your grass.
Right.
And, you know, just a rule of thumb, we always like to get our grass and our Bermuda off to a great start. So we want to give them that early spring fertilization, and then we can kind of taper off during the summer. Right. Or else you'll just end up mowing that grass every 4 days or so.
And I'm not sure what this year's got in store for us, but typically a lot of people will maybe do a little bit of light mowing, you know, in the early part of April. But a lot of times our grasses, as far as the lawn, are not really good to go until we're looking at middle of April, end of April. And then they're starting to put some growth on, and, you know, they're starting to catch hold. So I would kind of keep it, you know, fertilization somewhere from the 1st of April to probably the middle of April.
Okay.
And again, make sure you put it out over 1,000 square feet, not 10,000 square feet.
Right.
Or 100 square feet.
Or 100 square feet. Yeah, because you can ultimately have the reverse effect and essentially burn your lawn with too much nitrogen being highly available all at one time with that fresh,
right,
succulent kind of growth on there. So. Right.
Water, you know, you like to have the soil a little bit moist, fertilize, and then water more heavily after you fertilize. So you're watering it in right away. And that will help the grass to get going. And then as far as frequency of watering, you're going to have to look at your lawn and kind of do a little self-determination as to how fast it's growing, how fast it's drying out. And so I would look at watering probably somewhere about once every, you know, at the start, once a day, mm-hmm, if you're seeding. If it's established, then water, you know, maybe two times a week, you know, Tuesday and Saturday or something like that. And, you know, keep it watered. You can put a coffee can out or, you know, cat food can and set it out when you run the sprinkler and see how much water you actually catch within that time period. And we'd probably like to see somewhere about an inch put out. So that should wet down close to a foot.
Right down there to intercept all those roots that are growing underneath on there. And a lot of us, you know, you're driving around town and as soon as the weather warms up, start seeing pickup trucks of a lot of folks that want to do it yourself and sod their lawn, right, saw that up. And I know that, you know, gosh, just kind of sometimes walk and see the garden center and that sod is, you know, it's folded up, it's dry, it's cracking, and, you know, it's holding on, it's holding on.
Right.
And, you know, it's a lot of people want to go ahead and saw that either their backyard because it's going to give them that instant result. And I know there's a lot of issues you have to look at to prepare your soil,
right,
before you even think about purchasing and delivering sod to your place.
Right. Yeah. If you're starting out at a new house or a new lawn situation, you definitely want to work the soil up. And hopefully you have a uniform soil over the entire lawn. And so you can work in organic matter, your compost, manures, you know, till those into the soil real good, as deep as you can go. And the organic matter helps the grass to be more water conserving. So if you put a good amount of compost or manure into the soil and till it in, you know, 6, 8, 10 inches deep, that will do worlds of good for the lawn that's going to be planted after it. So it is a good idea to do that.
Right. And also if you're going to put some fertilizer, some synthetic fertilizer, something high in phosphorus,
right,
as well, because that's going to also help with our root growth,
right,
as well. So
you like to get that down prior to putting the grass on. So you want to get it on, then till it in, work it in real good so that you have it in the root zone when the roots get down there.
Kind of think about your sod as almost like Velcro. You need to prepare the soil beforehand so that when that sod gets laid out on there, it's going to start adhering to it and it's going to start meshing together because, you know, the sod plates will give you about an inch and a half of soil, right, if you're lucky, or else it gets just too heavy for that. But it's a lot of prep work to do now before you start bringing that sod into your place. Once it gets there and you should immediately put it down because it's going to start drying out on that sod and you got to keep it, you know, keep it moist and keep it going. And when you lay out those pieces, John, and those seams, where should those seams be? Are you looking more of like when you would lay bricks where the seams are staggered so that you don't have a lot of space in between?
It can be done either way. You know, if it's Bermuda grass, you can put a little bit of sand or soil in the cracks between the pieces of sod, and that grass will grow right back in. So it'll take it over. If it's, you know, fescue grass or something like that that's very determined in its growth, it has no rhizomes really, then that one would need to be cared for a little bit more than Bermuda grass. Bermuda grass is by far our toughest grass. It's been here a long time. Withstands the heat, withstands the abuse, and it's just a tough grass.
Right, and I think that we need to consider that. When I did my lawn, I was patient and I did seeding. I didn't want to do the sod.
Very good.
But yeah, it was a long summer because I'd go out there. It's, you know, there's seeds. It's less than plugs. So I would just go out there and, oh, just barely see some green coming up. And but it was a test of patience, but it's really a long-term benefit for that. So we know you have some choices out there when you visit the garden center, some seeds, if you like to do that. A lot of them come in with a mulch already added to that, so that kind of helps with water conservation as well. But, you know, make sure that you talk and you get your permission, because I know that there's some kind of exemptions as well. If you're establishing a lawn, you need to water that more often than what our city water department allows you to do outdoor watering.
Yeah, and you can get a permit for you know, frequent waterings during the period that you're getting your grass planted and getting it established. But remember, on hybrid Bermuda, it is only started through vegetative means. So you need to buy, you know, sod that's either been started that way, and you put the sod down, but you really can't buy seed of it. Right, so. Of the hybrid, you can buy seed of a common, but not the hybrid. Right. But Bermuda grass, by far the best grass for the El Paso area. And Denise, our plant of the week this week is the Mexican gold poppy. It's, you know, the kind of signature little plant in the spring for El Paso.
Excellent, excellent. And before we go, before we're out of time, I'm going to make sure that if you're out and about today, you visit the Poppy Festival happening today at the Museum of Archaeology. That's happening today from 9 to 4, so you still have some time to get out there. Earlier this month, I saw a lot of poppies in bloom in a lot of neighborhoods, so I hope for a good show this year. And the Museum of Archaeology is hosting that, and you do got to take a shuttle at the El Paso Community College Trans Mountain campus.
Yeah, so probably better start out there than going up to the archaeology, because it won't let you in.
Yeah, exactly, because it's a tight parking space. So always a great photo op. Go out there and take your family and friends. And of course, in order to get good poppies, if you want to have poppies in your own yard, the work doesn't start now. It starts in the fall.
Right. And a lot of people don't realize poppies are an annual, and they're kind of a cool season annual, so they like to, you know, be seeded out back in November, December, and, you know, seed gets moisture, it enlarges, imbibes the water, and then as we move into winter, they'll germinate, or, you know, just kind of set as a rosette, and then when the warm part of spring comes along, then all of a sudden they're shooting up flower stalks and just beautiful, great hummingbird plants. They'll attract a lot of pollinators, so that's an excellent plant to use for a pollinator garden.
And you enjoy it for as long as you can, because you're going to get those seed pods established and reseeded for your next season.
Right. And again, you know, to bring the poppies up, you need to water probably October, November, December, you know, through there, you got to give it some water to keep it going. And we'll be seeding, or, you know, naturally seeding or purposely seeding. That'll be that latter part of the fall. Make sure you get it watered in.
Make sure you do that to ensure your next year's crop. Well, we're out of time today for this show, but if you have any questions, call the Master Gardeners Help Desk at 771-2354. We want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.